Why that diet didn't work for you. During your workout, you saw a fellow gym goer for the first time in several weeks. You hear her telling another member about her recent weight loss. I swear, the ketogenic diet is the best thing ever. I dropped 10 pounds in 4 weeks, she raved. The next day in the break room, one of your coworkers is incessantly chatting about the meal plan she's been following for a few weeks because she's already lost 5 pounds. Intrigued and curious, you try these diets too. But when you try them, they just don't seem to produce the same, holy crap, I've found the one experiences as the women who sing their praises. What the heck, right? Why didn't that diet work for you when other women seem to have achieved super fast results? Before we answer that question, here's an important fact. There is no perfect or magical diet. Never has been and never will be. Any diet can produce weight loss as long as you're in a caloric deficit. Yes, this applies to paleo, ketogenic, low-fat, vegan, and any other diet you can think of. Some people may go paleo and rave about how much fat they've lost, but it's not the paleo part that produced the weight loss. It's because they were in a caloric deficit, which is most likely due to the fact that the paleo diet eliminates grains and dairy. So that cuts out a lot of palatable foods that are easy to overeat. Think of things of like desserts such as ice cream, cakes, and cookies. To use one more common example, it's why some people lose weight quickly when they do a sugar detox. It's not because they stopped eating sugar, but because they stopped eating calorie-dense, hyper-palatable foods that were also high in fat. Again, these are desserts, snack cakes, donuts, and other heavily processed foods. By not eating those foods, they decreased the number of calories they consumed. The caloric deficit led to weight loss. And to kind of bring this whole point together, I have an image in this article. On the left-hand side, you have a donut, like a cafe mocha, and a cheeseburger and fries. Okay, and the caloric total for that is about 1,800 calories, and it's not a lot of food. But on the right-hand side, you have an image of yogurt, two things of fruit, an omelet, a sandwich, an apple, chicken, rice, some guacamole, and a couple other things on there, and that's also 1,800 calories. The point here is that the real food, the nutrient-dense food, it doesn't contain near as many calories, it contains the same amount of calories, but over a much greater volume of food, meaning it'll help you stay fuller, and that's all there is to it. It's not magic, it's math. Now, this also explains why someone can go paleo or any other diet and not lose weight, because they were not in a caloric deficit. While they eliminated certain foods and food groups, they ate more of other things. It's easy to eat more than you realize with high-fat foods like nut butters and coconut oil, and it's one reason why people who eat healthy can't seem to lose weight, because they're eating more than they realize, putting them in a caloric surplus. The "I tried this diet and lost weight, so that's indisputable proof that it's the ultimate style of eating" rhetoric is what causes people to define themselves by a way of eating and to develop a religion-like relationship with food. No longer is the way they eat something that simplifies and enhances their life. It consumes their personality. They've seen the supreme style of eating light and are anxious to share the good news with everyone who crosses their path about healthy carbs and acceptable fats and sinful processed evils that will lead to their ultimate demise. And you too can be saved if you bow to the one true nutrition God and forsake all others. Resist, and ye shall burn in a fiery, gluten-filled hell and choke on the smoke from smoldering carby goodness. In the name of clean eating, amen. This is why that diet didn't work. The four P's explain why that diet didn't work for you. One diet or style of eating will not work for everyone because we all have a different past, and we have different personalities, perceptions, and preferences. Let's go over those one by one. We all have different pasts. What you've experienced influences you. It's why someone who grew up in a home where things were constantly changing, be it through divorce, having to move frequently, may become an adult with control issues. Because she didn't have control over much of what happened in her childhood, she wants to control everything now. Similarly, your past experiences with food will affect how you view food now. Using myself as an example, my years of battling obsessive and binge eating habits is why I can't follow meal plans or count calories without dire consequences. If I had to track and eat 1,800 calories a day, within 1 week, I'd likely dive headfirst back into binge eating and other restrictive eating habits. My past experiences with rigid diets make counting calories an option that is not viable for me. Now, someone who is never obsessed over food and doesn't know what it's like to have food dominate their lives may have a very different experience. In fact, tracking calories may help them reach their goals without any negative consequences. Whereas it would stress me out and lead to binge eating, it could simplify the process and help them easily stay on track. Past experiences matter when it comes to present actions. The second P, we all have different personalities. Some people can effortlessly make healthy food choices, even when they're ravenous and short on time. Someone else may opt for whatever sounds best and is most convenient, which is usually something heavily processed and calorie dense. Someone can live in a home filled with cookies, ice cream, and other tasty goodies without constantly being tempted to eat them. Someone else may be more likely to eat all those things because they're around. Someone may prefer to organize and prepare meals for the entire week to make it easy to stay on track. Someone else may loathe the idea of eating out of Tupperware containers. When it comes to why we eat what we eat, our personalities play a crucial role. You need to understand your personality and then work with it, not against it. The third P, we all have different perceptions. Some people respond emotionally to less than ideal food choices. Whereas one woman may be plagued with guilt from eating a sleeve of cookies will vow to punish herself with an extra workout, another woman may simply be able to shrug it off and move forward with healthy choices like nothing happened. One woman may see the number on the bathroom scale as objective data, but another woman, it may have the ability to make or break her entire day and self-esteem. Two people can perceive the same event entirely differently. The fourth and final P, we all have different preferences. What if you like carbs? Nay, you do not merely like them. They're some of the very foods that make life worth living, like a freshly baked loaf of challah bread or homemade mashed potatoes. If you're like me and love carb-rich foods, then attempting a ketogenic diet for weight loss would be an excruciating endeavor. And my apologies if I did not say challah bread correctly. Maybe you like beets and enjoy adding them to a salad. Maybe I would rather gnaw on the sole of my tennis shoe than pop one of those dirt-tasting red balls of misery in my mouth. The point is, not everyone likes the same foods. Not everyone feels best eating the same foods or combination of macronutrients. Some people prefer to eat a higher carb diet, others a lower carb. Not everyone likes to eat 3 meals per day. Some prefer 2 big meals, some prefer 5 smaller meals. And this is why that diet didn't work for you, even if it worked for your friend. It likely didn't meld with your personality or perception, or it agitated an old wound from past experiences, or perhaps it simply didn't suit your preferences. Or, and this is a distinct possibility, it was a crazy-ass diet with rigid rules that was impractical and unsustainable and reeked of bullshit claims about its superiority to all other styles of eating, or it was based on sensationalized or fear-based marketing. How to create a diet that works for you. Now, I use the word diet because it's a term people are familiar with, but it simply means a style of eating. Rather than a traditional diet or meal plan or some other restrictive eating regimen, try embracing flexible guidelines. Specifically, guidelines that can be tailored to your past, personality, perception, and most definitely your preferences. Regardless of what slant your eating habits have, the number of meals you prefer to eat each day, foods you love and dislike, here's what science has proven to work for losing weight or maintaining a healthy weight and building muscle. Eat a variety of mostly real, minimally processed foods. And I know I say this repeatedly in multiple articles, but it's because it's important. It's a cornerstone guideline. This is a good way to get plenty of satisfying, nutrient-dense foods that can not only help you build a better-looking body, but a healthier body too. And let's face it, that's something most people put at the bottom of the priority list. This means choosing a baked potato over French fries from the drive-thru, or a grilled chicken boob over fried nuggets. And no, there are no off-limit foods or food groups. And the obvious exception I have to state, if you have an allergy or medical condition and have been instructed to avoid certain foods from your doctor. There is no single food group or macronutrient solely responsible for weight gain or fat loss. Another guideline, include a good source of protein in all of your meals. I'm assuming you strength train since you are listening to this, or you plan to start strength training. If you're not, you should be. There are way too many amazing benefits from this doesn't demand much time activity. Not only does eating a good source of protein with all of your meals help you feel satisfied, but it also spares muscle loss or prevents it when you're eating in a caloric deficit. Work in all other foods occasionally and in moderate amounts. All other foods are things that don't fall into the real minimally processed category or things simply considered not super healthy foods. I'm not a fan of the term junk food, if you haven't noticed. Foods like pizza, fried chicken, ice cream, or whatever the heck you love that's calorie dense and not the healthiest option, but tastes dang good. One eating method is not going to work for everyone, and this is why your friend or coworker may achieve great results from a diet, but you don't. The solution is clear. You must be your own guru. You must find what will work for you. Consider your past experiences and your personality, perceptions, and preferences. Then create sustainable habits that form a lifestyle. If you enjoyed this article, I encourage you to click the subscribe button, and I'll be back with more good stuff for you soon.